Well, it's good to see everybody. We're going to jump right in because I'm excited to get to Trunk or Treat today. It's going to be a blast outside in the parking lot. Even if you didn't bring any candy or anything like that, we hope you can join us for pizza downstairs. But we are in a little bit of a mini series right now in which we are talking about generosity. Generosity. And we started last week with the very easy conversation about what it looks like to be generous with our finances. Of course, I'm joking. It's not that easy of a conversation, but we are having that conversation, and there's many elements to being generous, and we're going to talk about a different kind of element today, and that is this. We're going to talk about what it looks like for us to be generous towards one another, generous towards each other, okay? And I want to make a claim, and I want to see if you agree or not, and I don't want you to raise your hand or shout out from the audience. I just want you to think about this for a second, but I think there are two kinds of generosity. There's two kinds of generosity. There is extravagant generosity, and then there's ordinary generosity. I think there's extravagant generosity, and I think there's ordinary generosity. And the question that I think is very interesting for us today is, which one do you think changes more lives? Extravagant generosity or ordinary generosity? Well, Jesus did both, right? Like, we can think of a lot of different examples of different ways that Jesus was incredibly generous with his love, and we know that he did both. We know that according to Scripture, Jesus was God's generous gift to the world. And Jesus' life, his death, his resurrection, it's the most generous thing that we could ever imagine. It is the most extravagant act of love that we can even fathom. It's the greatest gift the world has ever happened. If Jesus doesn't come and do what he did, our lives are different today. Jesus' generosity, by taking the cross, by breaking the barrier of sin between us and God, by creating a bridge for us to have a relationship with God, this was the most extravagant, extraordinary gift in all of human history. And somebody should say, amen, right? We have a purpose. We have a belonging. We have an identity because of the work that Jesus did on the cross. The resurrection is the most generous thing ever. It was extraordinary. But we also see that Jesus did incredibly ordinary things. Jesus did come to give his life, but Jesus also came to show ordinary, generous ways of love. And we see that all the time in the life of Jesus. If you've ever read through the Gospels, if you've ever read through the New Testament at all, you see Jesus allowing the little children to come to him when his disciples wanted to keep the kids away, saying, he's too good for this, right? No, ordinarily, he was very generous to the kids. He hung out with people that were considered on the margins of life. He welcomed them in. He hung out with people who were sick. He cared for people that nobody would care for. And that was the ordinary, generous ways that Jesus did it. Mother Teresa knew this about Jesus when she made this quote. She said, love is no less genuine if it's not extraordinary. Love is no less genuine if it's not extraordinary. Just because love isn't extraordinary doesn't mean it's not genuine. It's a generous act, and it can change lives, which I think actually gives you and me a lot of hope. So here's what I want to do today, and I'm going to move quickly through this so we can get to our festivities later today, but I want to talk about this important aspect of generous, ordinary love that we give to each other as a church. And I want to look at four habits of a generous heart, and we're going to have a little bit of fun today, especially with the kids in the room. So everybody say four habits with me. A little bit more robustly. Ready? Four habits. Four habits of a generous heart. There's four things that we actually learn from Jesus, that Jesus does for us, that I think we're called to do together. So if you have your Bibles with you, if you want to open your phone on your Bible app, please turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, and we're going to look at the story of blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus. So this is in Mark chapter 10, and we're going to be all the way down, I think starting with verse 46. And I want to talk about this incredible story between this interaction between Jesus and blind Bartimaeus. So in Mark chapter 10, we see the story of blind Bartimaeus. Jesus and his disciples were on their way to Jerusalem. They were actually going through Jericho. And when they arrived in Jericho, literally crowds of people came out to see Jesus. And a parade broke out, right? It was a crowd of chaotic people, and a parade broke out. Now, raise your hand if you've ever actually attended a parade in person. Anybody, kids? I want to see some hands in the air. If you've ever been to a parade in person, I mean, I've been to parades in person. One of our favorite Thanksgiving morning traditions is to watch the Macy's Day, you know, Thanksgiving parade, right? It's a pretty cool thing. Parades are a lot of fun, but one thing that's interesting about parades is they're actually pretty chaotic. They're really loud, right? There's people lined up on the streets. There's the parade going through, and there's all sorts of shouting and yelling. And it's actually really difficult to hear anybody, right? And so here we have in this story, in Mark chapter 10, with blind Bartimaeus, we have this kind of parade that's broken out, and everybody's there to see Jesus and his disciples, I guess. And I imagine these people kind of lining the street and on the sidelines, behind the crowd, maybe laying down, maybe sitting down. Who knows what Bartimaeus was doing, right? But we know, the Bible also refers to him a beggar, so he might have been sitting, hopefully trying to get some money, and he sees Jesus walking down the street, and he calls out over the roar of the crowd, and he says this, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." By the way, what a statement. What a statement, right? Maybe that's something that we should think about, saying every single morning we get up, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And all the people respond in Mark chapter 10. They say, "Be quiet. Go back to where you came from, Bartimaeus. Jesus is too important for you." And so Bartimaeus cries out all the louder, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me," because he needs Jesus' help. And everyone again says, "Be quiet, Bartimaeus. Shut your mouth. Stay over in the margins." But I love how Jesus responds, and we're going to look at this starting with verse 48. If you want to look in Mark chapter 10, verse 48 in your Bibles, it'll be on the screen as well. It says, starting in verse 48, "Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.'" And verse 49 is so incredible what Jesus does. Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." I love what Jesus does here, and you can leave that up if you don't mind, Kirk. He stopped. And this is the first habit that I want to encourage us to think about of what it looks like to have a generous heart. The first habit is to stop. Now, kids, what I want you to do is reach into your activity bags, for those of you who have one, and inside your activity bag is this little stop sign. Okay? Everybody see this? Where's Ethan? His is up here. I lost my son. Great. Okay. He's somewhere. All right, you got a stop sign. Now, everybody look at each other, and I just want you to gently or lovingly say the word stop, okay? Because Jesus stopped. And kids, I want you just to hold on to this for a minute, okay? Because this is kind of helping us now. Now, Bartimaeus was calling out, and they were shoving him aside. Check this out. Bartimaeus wanted help. He needed help, and all the people were just telling him to be quiet and go away. They wanted to ignore him. They wanted to walk right past him. Here he is, broken. He needs help, and they're telling him to be quiet. They will not take the time to stop and help him. I wonder if you can resonate with that at all. Have you ever been broken down in your car and nobody stopped to help? When I was much younger, probably 17, 18 years old, I used to have, my first vehicle was a GMC, they called it a Jimmy, but it was really a full-size like Bronco kind of truck. Diesel engine, glow plugs that never worked in the winter. It was an incredible vehicle, right? And one day, driving through my hometown of Forest Lake, this thing literally died in the middle of the busiest intersection, right at 61 and Broadway in Forest Lake, right in the middle of it. It's snowing. It's cold. I'm in like 17 years old, and the car just died, and I didn't know what to do, right? I'm sitting there. It's a big vehicle, and wouldn't you know that all those Forest Lake people, they got out and helped me, right? Not at all. What did they do? They beeped their horn. They told me to get out of the way because I was inconveniencing the most busy intersection in the city or town as it was back then. So we eventually got the car pulled off to the side, but not one person helped us figure out how to get the vehicle out of the intersection, right? Nobody stopped. And if you've ever been in a situation like that, you can know how frustrating and how easy it is to not be a Christian in that moment, right? I'm just seeing a few heads nod. Maybe I'm the only one. Sorry about that. Everybody's like, no, we would never swear, right? I get that, right? But Bartimaeus is encountering a very similar situation. He's broken down. He's down in his luck. He's blind. He's a beggar, the Bible says. And everybody keeps telling him to go away. But I love what Jesus does. He stops, which is exactly what Bartimaeus needs. Jesus stopped for him. And I got to just say this to our church. I believe Jesus is still in the business of stopping for us. I believe Jesus is still in the business of knowing where we are in our lives, knowing the places in our lives that are broken down, that we struggle with, that we need help with. And Jesus still stops for us today. And all we have to do is cry out to him, Jesus, have mercy on me. And Jesus will stop. He stops for us to express his love because he has a generous heart. He will give us his time because that's how much we mean to God. And I am convinced that if God is willing to do this for us, we also need to do it for other people. I am convinced that there are times in our lives where we have the opportunity to stop for someone else, and we need to follow God's lead in this with Jesus. We need to stop more often. And yet we find ourselves in moments where we live and we're like, oh, you know, maybe I should stop, but I've got so much to do today. I've got so much to get done. I've got places to be. And I can't really stop and help this person because of that. I think we need to stop more often. I'm convinced of that. Can we stop for every person? Probably not. But we should stop for some people. We should be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives, able to feel the Holy Spirit's nudge in our hearts for when God is calling us to stop and be available. We should be going about our day in, dare I say, a different posture. Instead of just going around the day saying, I'm just too busy, I'm going to stick to my schedule. What if we went around and said, Spirit, lead me to the person that you're calling to me to stop for? How can I help the people around me? When we stop, we end up doing just what Jesus has done for us, helping people who in that moment may be in need. We need to stop more often. It's the first habit of a generous heart. The second habit of a generous heart is to look. Okay, kids, are you ready? The second habit of a generous heart is to look. And I want you to pull out of your activity bags this magnifying glass, please. This magnifying glass, some of you have a bigger version of this in your house, right? And it helps people to see things clearly, to look closely at something. And it is representing the second habit of a generous heart, and that is to look. You see, when other people wanted Bartimaeus to go back, melt into the sidelines, don't be seen, don't be heard, just go away, Jesus actually called Bartimaeus forward. He wanted to have a face-to-face conversation with him. Jesus wanted to look at Bartimaeus. Jesus didn't try to push him aside and make him invisible. Jesus brought him forward into a relationship with him to look at him. And I want you to think about this for a minute, all of us in this room, and maybe those of you joining us online as well. There have probably been times in our lives where we felt overlooked, like we're human. We have some story in our past where we can probably identify a time where we felt pushed aside. And if you feel like you've been silenced or made invisible by other people, I want to tell you that Jesus is looking at you. Jesus desires to be in a relationship with you. He's still doing that today. He still gives us his attention. In fact, in 1 Peter 3, verse 12, it says this, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers." For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. God's eyes are literally fixed on you. He's looking at you constantly. He wants to meet your gaze. You don't have to try to get his attention. Have you ever been in a conversation with someone and you're talking to them, but they're on their phone? Those of us with teenagers know all too well what we're talking about, right? Or maybe you're at a coffee shop, Starbucks or Caribou, and you're having a conversation with them, but all they're doing is watching the people behind you, right? Or if you're at a conference and you're trying to have a conversation, people seem distracted. It is maddening, right? When you're trying to have a conversation with somebody else, but they don't seem to be paying attention to what you're doing, it is so difficult. And I need to tell you, that's not how God is. You don't have to try to get God's attention. He's always gazing on you. However kind of odd that might sound, God's eyes are fixed on you. You are literally the apple of God's eye. That's how God made us to be in humanity, was to feel that sense of love and affection because of that gaze. We were made for that sort of eye contact, if you will. We were made with a desire to be seen. That's how God designed us. It gives us value when someone recognizes us, when someone sees us, when someone gives us their attention. And it isn't interesting that when you want someone's attention, you tell them to pay attention. Think about that phrase for a minute, pay attention. Isn't that first word interesting? Because it's true. The word pay is true. When you pay someone with your attention, you're assigning value to them. You're giving them something of value. There's a value in eye contact. It builds up your soul. It's fertilizer for the intimacy that we have in relationship with one another. And there are people in our lives, and I need you to hear this, that are living through nightmare situations right now. There are people in our lives, maybe we know, maybe we don't know, who are going through incredibly difficult situations. They are maybe going through the worst that life has to offer. They're going through terrible things, and what they need is for someone to get their attention. They need someone to see them. They need to be seen, and they need to hear the words, "I am with you. I'm here for you. God is here for you. God loves you. I see you. You have value. You are worth something to me. And more importantly, you are worth something to God. I see you. And God sees you." And that will bring a peace in their lives that if we could just look at them and give them this, God brings that peace through that situation. Are we willing to stop and look at somebody even today or this week? It may change their life forever. You never know. I bet somebody looked at us in our times of need and it changed the trajectory that we were on. The second habit of a generous heart is to look. It's to see others. So we're called to stop and we're called to see. And the third habit of a generous heart is we are called to listen. Okay, kids? Ready? We're going to talk about listening. Now, I've got a few hearing aids here. Okay, so my daughter Samantha, thank you, she cut these little holes out. They're little hearing aids. John, I'm not saying you need one, but you can have one if you want, okay? I've got a few extras here. Remy definitely needs one. There you go. Just, these are little hearing aids, right? I'm not saying you need one. I just don't. Zach, there you go. All right, one more. Okay, now, this little hearing aid is kind of an old-timer, right? But if you hold the cup up to your ear, you can kind of hear things a little bit different, right? It sounds a little bit more accentuated, if you will. And it says, thank you, Samantha, listen on it, right? Because that is the third habit of a generous person, is to listen. You've got to stop, you've got to look, and you need to listen. Now, here's what happens in the story. Let's go back to Bartimaeus for a minute. He starts yelling. People tell him to be quiet. But then Jesus actually invites him to come and walk with him. Jesus invites him to come with him and to listen. He wants to listen to Bartimaeus' story. While everyone else is giving up their attention on Bartimaeus, Jesus is actually investing in it. God's ears are attentive to our prayers. Let me say that again because it is so important. What we know about God is that God's ears are attentive to our prayers. I'm convinced that this is one of the greatest gifts that God gives us, is when we pray, God listens. We don't always get the answer that we may want, but when we pray, we know God is listening. The psalmist says in 116, verses 1 and 2, he literally says this, "I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my prayer for mercy. Because he bends down to listen, I will pray as long as I have breath." The psalmist is almost saying that, look, God is listening to me and I love him because of it. And if someone listens to you, doesn't it make all the difference, right? When you feel like you're being heard, it makes all the difference in the world, because there's so many places in our lives where we don't feel like people listen to us. where we feel like we can speak all we want. Nobody's listening. They just want to hear themselves talking, right? But God is listening to you. He is literally, the Bible says, bending down, leaning in so he can hear you. Because that's how much he loves you. That's how valuable you are. God wants to listen to you. And if that's one of the greatest gifts that God has given us, is to listen to us, then it's also one of the greatest gifts that we can give to those around us. We get to exhibit the love and the generosity of God by listening to others in the same way that God listens to us. Because listening is loving. Listening is a way to love the world around us, and you and I can get better at listening, right? We can participate in active listening so that when we actually have an honest conversation with someone, we give them our full attention in a world that is full of distraction. It is a habit of the generous heart of a generous people. Do you listen to people when they are in front of you? Do you believe that that is one of the ways that God can change lives? Is through listening. So be generous with your ears, friends. We stop, we look, we listen, and finally, and the last thing, is we ask. We ask. The fourth habit of a generous heart is that we ask. Final thing, ready? Final object lesson of the day is look at what Kristen Bailey provided for us. Thank you, Kristen. We have these wonderful guest check. Okay, kids, pull these out of your bags. Everybody knows what these are, right? They don't do these much anymore, right? But if you're at a restaurant, you need one? Oh, sorry. Thank you, Smith. When you're at a restaurant waiter and waitress comes up to you, they might come up to you and they might ask you what is it that you want to eat? And you might say, okay, I'll take a double cheeseburger with bacon and mayonnaise and pickles and jalapeno peppers. And they're writing it down, right? They might say, I want a large fry, add a curly fry on there. Is that a thing still? I don't know, curly fry. So they're writing it down. You might say, I want a Diet Coke. Do you like Diet Coke? No, Coke, Sprite, Fanta. Okay, they might write that down. You might even say, I want an ice cream milkshake, chocolate, please, double chocolate. And they're going to write it down. They write that on there so they can remember what it is that you want and what they can bring to give to you, right? The fourth habit of a generous heart is that we learn to ask. And here's where we see the story in Mark 10 really come alive. Jesus calls Bartimaeus to himself. They're having a conversation. Jesus is looking at him. Jesus is listening. And then Jesus asks the most important question that, by the way, Jesus still asks of us today. He says, what do you want me to do for you? This, my friends, is one of the most compelling questions in the entirety of the New Testament. Jesus says, what is it that I can do for you? Now, it's interesting, is Bartimaeus would go on to say, I want to see. And I think it's pretty clear that Jesus probably knew what he wanted, right? He's a blind beggar standing in the corner. I don't know if it'd be clear that he was blind or not, but Jesus, who was fully God and fully man, probably knew what Bartimaeus wanted. But he still asked him. Isn't that interesting? He still asked him to hear his response. And why is that? I think it's because Jesus asked him because he wanted to hear Bartimaeus say it. He wanted Bartimaeus to know that Jesus was listening and he wanted a relationship with him. Jesus wants a relationship with us. So he asks the question of us every day as well. And when you ask questions, it shows that you care. It shows that the person matters to you that's sitting in front of you. It's not just now that I'm seeing you or listening to you, it's that I'm investigating. I'm going deeper. I'm asking a question of what matters to you in that moment. And there's people in our lives who are always praying, and they're asking the question, does anybody care, God? Do you care, God, about me? There's people in our lives that are asking, God, are you there? God, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to get through life like this. And when we show up and when we ask the question, we have the possibility of being the answer to prayer that God might bring. Maybe we just ask a simple question like, how are you doing? What's going on in your life? How can I pray for you? Do you need anything? How can I help you? These are things that make you God's answer to their prayers. Don't underestimate the power of a question in people's lives. Questions asked in love are a gift to people around us, and they sometimes make all the difference. The final habit of a generous heart is to ask, who is in your life right now that you have the opportunity to love and be generous towards by saying, how are you? How can I pray for you? In fact, I would just say this. Of all the wonderful dear friends I have that are not walking with Jesus, one of the greatest gifts I give them is when I ask them, how can I pray for you when they're going through a difficult time? Because everybody wants support when they're going through a difficult time. And I think there's been so many of you in this room that have done this. In fact, maybe there's those of you in this room that this is your entire life, living an ordinarily generous life every single day. You stop for people. You've looked at people. You've listened to people. You've asked them good questions. And I would bet that there are people that God has used you to change the trajectory of their lives because of this ordinary, generous disposition that you live into. And I just need to say this. Let's keep being a church, or let's start being a church that always stops, that always looks, that always listens, that always asks. That this is one of the hallmarks of our culture as a family, as a church body, just trying to figure out how to live for God in the crazy and chaotic world that we do. I believe if we do that week in, week out, day in, day out, if we do that in every day of our lives, we would make these four simple habits a priority. It will change literally not only our church forever, but the community of Edina forever. It will change your workplaces forever, your relationship with your neighbors and your families. When we come with a generous heart and we ask and live into these four habits, you never know what God will do. And I just need to close with this statement. This is who we are. We are generous. That is what God has called us to. And it's a wild journey. It's a wild adventure. And there are people in your lives, maybe even sitting in this room right now, who need you to be generous towards them. God bless you on that journey. God bless us as a church as we continue to invest in this way. We're generous. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for this morning. Thank you for the sunshine that is out, the cool, crisp weather of a beautiful fall day. Thank you, Lord, for our kids and how we celebrate them here in this church. But thank you, God, also for our family, the adults in this room, everybody in this room, those that are listening online. Thank you for the way that you are growing in us, a heart to follow you in every situation. God, I want to be known as a generous person. And so many times when we've talked about that, we've tied it to finances, which I think is important. But Father, there's so much more to generosity. There's extraordinary things, God, that you've called us to. But there's ordinary, everyday things that lead to an extraordinary outcome. And I want to pray, Father, that you would show us the generous path of life, that these four simple habits would help guide our way as we care for those around us, those people that you've brought to us in our lives. I want to pray for the really grumpy neighbor that we have, the person that's really tough to get along with. Father, would you give us an opportunity to be generous to them? I want to pray for the really difficult situation in our families, the interpersonal dynamic that is so hard to deal with. God, help us to be generous to each other in those contexts. What about with your coworker? The person that's so hard to work with, God, call us to be generous to them as well. What about to all the people that it's just easy to love? Father, maybe there's a spiritual conversation just waiting to happen when we say the simple words, how can I pray for you? Thank you for this community that's gathered. I pray as we celebrate our kids today that, Father, you would bless our time. I'm so thankful to be here, Father. May you get all the glory. We pray these things in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. All God's people said, amen.